Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, 13a1, Mishnah. Okay, last time, just to, because we need to understand this. There was an argument in the Mishnah before, because the Gemara is going to continue into that argument, between Am Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. Oh, welcome back. In the previous Mishnah, it says like this. The guy marries a woman, she's not virgin. She says, it happened after the Kedushin, I was raped, and therefore, it's your tough luck, you have to give me a full ksuba. He says, no, you lied to me, it happened before we were engaged, before the Kedushin, you never told it to me. So, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer say she's believed, meaning she'll get the full ksuba. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, she's not believed. Okay? So the Gemara is discussing body v'shema, body adif, it's definite, not definite, which one's better. And the Gemara said that Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan say Potter, Rav Yudan and Rav Huna say Chayev, the whole argument in the Gemara that we learned before. Okay, just that's all we need to know for the Gemara. Now we have a similar argument now in the Mishnah, like it was in the previous Mishnah. He emeretz mukat seitani. Okay? She's not a virgin. She says, I was a wood injury. Remember we said, it's possible a woman, a piece of wood goes up in that area, and she's not a virgin. No, you're not a virgin from a man, not from a piece of wood. What's the argument? If it's mukaseis, if she became a non-virgin from a piece of wood, she gets a folk suba. So far, we'll see in the Gemara exactly what. She gets a folk suba. If she would buy a man, then,
half.
Well, either half, or he says, I don't give you anything because you lied to me. We'll see in the Gemara two opinions exactly what. Instead, when the guy marries the girl, she's not a virgin, yeah? He says, hey, you're not a virgin. He says, yeah, but that was not a virgin from people, it was from a piece of wood, right? So she's saying, I get a ksuba $200. He says, no, you're not a virgin because of a man did it to you. So therefore, either you get nothing or at least not more than 100, that's for sure. So what's the din? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer Eimrim Nemenis. Rabbi Gamliel again, Rabbi Eliezer say she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua Eimrim Leimi Pia Nechaim. We don't live from her mouth, meaning she's not believed. Ela Reza Becheskes Drush Asish. She's considered that she was lived by a man, Rabbi Yeshua holds, until she brings a proof that she's taka a virgin and or not a virgin from a stick. Okay? In other words, the bottom line of it is, she wants to extract money from the man. She wants to tell him, you owe me a folk soup of $200. Right? Rabbi Yeshua holds, the burden of proof is on her. The burden of proof is on her. And if she cannot prove that it happened by a stick, right, and she's not a virgin, there is a possibility, even 50-50. Yeah? Maybe it was from a man, maybe it was from a stick, that she's not a psula. But Rabbi Yeshua says that's not enough for her to extract money for the ksuba from the husband. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Gamliel say, listen, she's sure. The guy's not sure. Right? How does he know? She knows. So therefore, she's believed. That's what Gemara says before. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Tainose b'may. What's the argument going on between the man and the woman here? What is she asking for, and what does the husband want to give her? Like we said, there's a number of possibilities here. She says, I'm a mukaseitz, meaning, yes, I'm not a virgin. But it's from a stick. Therefore, halachically, I'm still a virgin. You owe me a ksuba of $200. So the question is, what is she asking for? Is she asking for 200, and the husband says 100? Or is she asking 200, and the husband says nothing? What exactly is the debate between the husband and wife? So Gemara says two opinions. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, b'masayim umana. The argument is about 200 versus 100. Meaning, the girl wants 200, like a virgin, and the husband says, no, you're not a virgin, I'm going to give you 100. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, Rabbi Lazar says, no, b'mana v'lay klum. That's not. The bride is saying, I want a ksub of 100. And the husband says, you get nothing.
She says 100?
Yep.
But she's mother that she was...
No, we're going to explain why in a second.
Torah's Be'isha, no?
We're going to see why. Bottom line is, what the Gemara is pushing discussing, what's the practical case of the Mishnah? The guy marries this girl. She's not a virgin. Yeah? That's a given. Everybody agrees she's not a virgin. She says, I'm not a virgin from a piece of wood. Therefore, I get a ksuba. He says, no. You're from a man. Right? So Rabbi Yechanan says, the first opinion, the Gemara says, she's asking for a virgin ksuba of 200. And the man is saying, no, you're getting 100 because you're not a virgin. Rabbi Lazar says, no, that's not what the debate is. The woman says, I want 100. Okay, I know I'm not a psula, but I never cheated you. I never lied to you that I was a psula and I wasn't. Because it's mukasets. So I want a ksuba at least of 100. And the husband says, you lied to me? I thought I was marrying a psula. You're not. And I'm accusing you as from a man. And therefore you get nothing. So Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Gamliel say she's believed, whether she gets 200 according to Rabbi Yechanan or 100 according to Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Yeshua says either she gets 100 or she gets nothing.
Rabbi Lazar.
Now the Gemara explains the reason. Rabbi Yechanan says the argument is b'masai mumana. Why? Savala k'rab meir, he holds a k'rab meir. What does Rabbi Meir hold? Bein hikir ba, uvein lay hikir ba, Ksubasa Masayim. The man says like this. If a woman is a mukasetz, okay, we're going to call her mukasetz, just easier. She became a non-virgin through the stick. The man holds, whether the husband knew about it before or didn't, she gets $200 anyway.
Because she said mukasetz.
Because of mukasetz. Meaning, the man holds, mukasetz is not a non-virgin. He defines non-virgin when a man did it to her. So the mayor says, it doesn't matter if the guy knew before, it doesn't matter if the husband didn't know before, she gets $200. He can't say, you lied to me, you cheated, you tricked me, she gets $200. Therefore, in this case, when she says, I'm a mukasetz, what is she asking for? $200. What's the husband telling her? You're not a psula, you're going to get $100. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar Aimer b'mana v'leikum. Why does Rabbi Elazar say the argument over here in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, between the Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua is about 100 and nothing? Savala k'rabban, because he holds like the Rabbanan that hold like this. Bein hikaba, bein lehikaba, whether the husband knew about it before or afterwards, that was the Shmukas Eitz. Ksubasa money, she only gets 100. Meaning, like
hikir means hikir
means
realizes, no?
Hikir
means hikir to realizes it, no?
No, hikir means whether you knew about it or didn't know about it.
Why would the husband want to give her anything if she was found out she's not a virgin?
Because everybody agrees she gets a ksuba, whether the husband knew about it before or not. Again. If a man marries a woman with the intent that she's a psula, and then you find out she wasn't from a man, she gets nothing. Because he lied to her. I mean, she lied to him. He thought he's marrying a virgin, and she's not a virgin. So then he doesn't get a ksuba, because she lied to him. The purpose of a ksuba is that a husband shouldn't dump his wife. If he has to pay money, he's not going to dump her so easily. But in this case, she lied to him. She deserves to be dumped. Right? Now, what happens if she was a mukasetz before? Before the wedding, before the kedushin even, she was a mukasetz. She never told the guy. Okay? Now she gets married. And let's say it's proven that she's a mukasetz. It's proven. We know. She can prove it. She's bringing witnesses that this accident happened to her and it was a mukasetz. Rameir says, she gets $200. Because she's considered a virgin, because it was never done by a man. The Chachamim hold, no, she only gets 100. Because the Pearl, she's not a Psula. A man didn't do it, a stick did it. It doesn't matter. She is not a Psula, she gets 100. So this is the source of this argument between Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yochanan says, Taloch is a Krab Meir, or we don't know. That according to Rabbi Meir, a Mukah says gets 200. So what's she asking for? 200. What's the husband saying? No. You're getting 100. Rabbi Lazar says, no. She's asking for 100, and the husband's saying, I'm giving you nothing, because they hold like the Chachamim. That she has a right, if it's true, that she's a Mukaseh, she only gets 100. So now the Gemara says like this. Bishtayme Rabbi Lazar leikame krabban ayyechanan, I understand why Rabbi Lazar doesn't hold like Rabbi Yechanan. Why not? Because Mukala Rabbanan. Because there's an argument between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Who's the halacha like? Majority, the Chachamim. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says, we the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Meir. Therefore, he says, asking for 200. So Rabbi Lazar doesn't agree with that. It makes sense, because Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, the halacha is like the Chachamim. Why should the Mishnah be according to Rabbi Meir? Right? But the Gemara says, "El Rabbi Yechon, my time lo yama k'Rabbi Lazar." But why doesn't Rabbi Yechon hold the k'Rabbi Lazar? After all, the halacha is like the Chacham that she gets 100, right? So she can only be asking for 100. So why does Rabbi Yechon say she's asking for 200? She says like this: "Kasava," because he holds like this. "Konze becheskes psula," because a man thought that she was a virgin. "The nimse beula," and she found out that she's not a virgin, yesh lo ksuba mona, she still gets a ksuba of 100. Okay? Now, he holds, and again, this is another argument that we just mentioned. If a guy marries a girl thinking she's a virgin, and she's not, what does she get? Rabbi Yechanan holds, she gets 100. Other people say she gets nothing. She lied. Like we said before, she lied. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, she still gets 100. You married her. She's not a psula. Okay, so give her 100. Give her 100. Right? Now, if that's the only case, and she's asking for 100, right? So the husband can't say, I'm giving you nothing. Because even if she's right, even if the husband's right, that she was with a man before the Kedushin, then she also gets 100. So she's asking for 100, and he's agreeing to 100, so what are they fighting about? He says, Hachu who come in money, he says, I agreed to give you 100. But he come in money, and she says, I want a husband. So my Ika ben the what's the difference between them and him? So therefore, it can't make sense that our Mishnah should go like Rabbi Meir. I'm saying, like the Chachamim. Because according to the Chachamim, a Mukaseitz only gets 100. Right? So if she says, I'm a Mukaseitz, what is she asking for?
100.
What's the husband saying? I'll give you 100. So what are they fighting about? Because Rabbi Yechanan holds, again, if the guy marries her, thinking she's a psula, and she's not, what does she get? 100. Right? So now just think what's going on. This guy married this girl. She's not a psula. Yeah? He thought she was, but she's not. She says, I'm a mukher seitz. Now, according to the Chachamim, what does she get? 100. Mm-hmm. That means she can only be asking for 100. The guy says, no, you're from a man. Non-virgin. But also then the din is she gets 100.
According to
Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan holds, if a guy thought the woman is a psula, and she's not, even from a man, she still gets a ksuba of 100. Right? So then what are they arguing about? So we can't say the Mishnah is going according to the Chachamim that hold she only gets 100. We must say the Mishnah is going according to the Chachamim that holds a Mukis 8 gets 200. So she's asking for 200. He says, no, you're a non-psula from a man, and therefore you only get 100.
Why can't we say that the husband is this, I'm the fair man? If it was like Mukat S, right, you know, I pay you 100. But if you had like a relation with somebody, I don't pay you nothing.
No, if it's but before the Kedushin, that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds. She gets 100 anyway. He can't fight it.
Even if it was, if it's
it's after Kedushin, then she's an Mezana, she gets nothing.
That's not a machloket.
That's for sure not a given. He's not timing that. He's not saying that it was after the Kedushin, because that was the whole Gemara before. That was the Mishnah before. This is the Mishnah. They're not arguing if it was done after the Kedushin, before the Kedushin. This is a case, everybody says she became a non-basula before the Kedushin even. But she tricked him. Right? He thought she was a virgin. Correct? She didn't tell him she was a mukas eitz. Now he comes along and says, you're not a virgin. She says, I know I'm not a virgin, but not from a man. Now what is she asking for? According to the mayor, she has a right to ask for 200. According to the chachamim, she can only ask for 100. Right? Now, what does the husband say? No, you lived with a man before we had the kedushin. Now, according to that, what does she get?
100.
So if she's asking for 100, like the Chachamim hold, and he says, I'll give you 100, what are they fighting about?
It's about we must say that
this mission goes according to that mayor, that she's asking for 200. Because according to that mayor, whether you knew about it, you didn't know about it, Mukher says it gets 200. And the husband says, no, you're from a man, therefore you're only going to get 100. But you can't say that the Mishnah is going according to the Gemara's question is, how could he say the Mishnah goes according to the Meir if the Allah is like the Chachamim? But he can't go according to the Meir because it doesn't make sense. Because she says, I want 100. He says, yeah, I'll give you 100.
But for a different reason. Maybe it's not just the money. It's she wants to maintain that it's based on not with a man, and that's what the argument is.
But
either way, it's 100.
The only thing is, yeah, but then what are they arguing about?
The fact that, it's not correct, it's not with a man.
So what? Practically speaking, what's the difference? It could only be a practical difference in money. Now, if she says a mukah says, and she would only get 100 like the Chachamim hold, and he says, yeah, I'll give you 100, what's the issue? Right? We're forced to say that the Mishnah is going according to that mayor, who holds a Mukah Seitz gets 200. So therefore, when she says, yes, I'm a Mukah Seitz, I want 200. And he says, no, you're from a man. And a man only gets 100. But again, this is all before the Kedushin. The previous Mishnah, the argument and the fight was, did it happen before the Kedushin or after the Kedushin? She said it happened after the Kedushin, I was raped, and it's your tough luck.
If that's the case, so what is the difference? She said Mukat S, or she had a relation before Kedushin, who cares? Anyway, she should get something. So why is the reason should be Mukat S? It could be even a relation with somebody.
No, because then...
But it's before Kedushin, what is the problem?
No, because she wants 200 and he wants 100.
But how can the husband prove it anyway?
One second. If she said it happened after the Kedushin, I was raped.
You said you're not talking about after the Kedushin, you're talking about before the
Kedushin. Now, this Mishnah.
Okay.
This Mishnah speaking, whether she's a Mukah Seitz or from a man before the Kedushin.
Doesn't matter.
Well, according to the mayor, it matters. She wants 200 and the guy wants to give her 100.
But if his relation is not going to be 200, it would be nothing? No, it's before Kedushin. What is different? There is no difference between Mukat S and relation. The same thing.
No,
before Kedushin, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But Mukat says she would get 200 if it's before the Kedushin.
But if his relation is 100?
Yeah.
We learned that?
That's what the mayor said. Ben Hikubah, Ben Hikubah. The mayor, this Gemara says, Mukat says, whether you knew about it before or not, gets 200. The Chachamim holds Mukas Hates only gets 100.
How do you prove it, like he said? How do you prove one or the other?
Why should we differ? What is the logic?
No, the burden of proof. The question is, who is the burden of proof on? Is it on him or on her? What happens if he could produce witnesses that she lived with a man after the Kedushin willingly?
After the Kedushin?
Yeah.
That's not.
If he brings Edim, okay? If he can prove that she was secluded with a man willingly in an apartment for a long time, right? Whatever, yeah? Then he proves that she was not a psula and she was Mazana. Now, he has to divorce her, correct? Now, does he give her a ksuba or not? In that case, he wouldn't give her anything because he proves she committed adultery. You commit adultery, you don't get anything. Right? Now, she can also prove technically that she was raped. I'm talking about the previous Mishnah, yeah? If she can be proof witnesses that she was grabbed and kidnapped and taken, then you can assume that she was raped. Possible to prove.
So he cannot just say, he has to be witnesses to say that, no, I disagree with you that it wasn't with the stick, it was with the man. He can't just say that. He has to bring a proof to have witnesses, right?
Right. See, we're going to soon see in the Gemara. Okay, let's see it inside. So now the question over here really is, the previous Mishnah, right, which was a fight, whether it was done before the Kedushin or after the Kedushin, right? And this Mishnah, everybody says she was un-virginized before the Kedushin, but really it's the same argument. Do you believe him or do you believe her? Right? Really, it's the same argument. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah say you believe him, her, and Rabbi Yeshua says you believe him. So Gemara says like this, Bishleim and Rabbi Elazar. Heine the Ketani Taita, according to Rabbi Elazar holds, that if she's not a virgin, she gets no ksub at all. That's what Rabbi Elazar said. Because if the husband's right, she gets no ksuba.
If it's a no, it's with the ish. That's according to Rabbi Elazar.
No, according to Rabbi Elazar, not of the Mishnah.
Rabbi Elazar Omar, b'mana v'loklu.
Yeah. That means she's asking 100, and he says, I'm giving you nothing.
For if it's an ish.
Yeah, but that's what he says, right.
Okay.
So now, that's why we have two cases of the previous Mishnah and of the later Mishnah. Meaning, Chada lafukim and Rami bar Chama. One is to exclude the opinion of Rami bar Chama. Rami bar Chama holds that even a mukis eats, if the husband didn't know about it before, she gets nothing. So therefore it makes sense why that case is, does she get 100 or nothing? Or here does she get nothing? V'chadal afugim Rav Chamir bar Abin Amar Rav Sheshis, to exclude the opinion of Rav Sheshis, that says, if the groom claims that she was before the wedding, it's also Mekach Tor, she gets nothing.
Same thing.
In other words, like this. I need a board. Blackboard.
Trying to write it down.
Our Mishnah says the argument between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Elazar, is if she gets 100 or she gets nothing. Right? If she's a mukasait, she gets 100. If she's from a man, she gets nothing. That's what Rabbi Elazar said. Right? So that makes sense. Our Mishnah teaches us a unique din that a mukasait gets 100. That a mukasait gets 100 because Rav Sheshis says she gets nothing. Mukasait. So the Mishnah says at least she gets 100 like she wanted. According to Rabbi Gamliel, you believe her? So she gets 100. According to Rav Sheshis' opinion, she's going to get nothing. Because a mukus eitz, according to him, according to Rav Sheshes, if it happened before the wedding, she will get nothing. So our Mishnah teaches us that if she's a mukus eitz, she'll get at least 100. If she can prove she's a mukus eitz in our Mishnah, what's she going to get? She'll get 100. So what's the Mishnah telling us? Because Rav Sheshes holds, she wouldn't get anything. Okay? Now, according to El Rabbi Yechinen, Tarti Lomeli, but why do I need two cases according to Rabbi Yechinen? Meaning like this. If you have a board, it's 2 seconds. It's clear, you see it, you got a picture of it, it's no problem. If you have these things, whatever. What do they call them? PowerPoint. PowerPoints. Gotta get PowerPoints. I wouldn't know how to use it.
Oh,
the whiteboard. Oh, no, I'm talking about the one, the electric one, that press buttons and blackboards. The Mishnah before, okay, you have to keep in mind a few dinim over here. Rav Meir holds a girl that was a mukus eitz, whether he knew about it or not, gets 200.
Even how about if there was an ish? Everybody agrees that.
I said mukus eitz
only.
Rav Meir holds, okay, a mukus eitz will get 200. The Chachamim hold, she gets 100. If she's a mukus eitz for real, if she can prove it, how much is she going to get? Rav Meir says she's going to get 200. And Chacham Mehod, you're going to get 100. Okay? So therefore, Amish is talking about, she's asking for 100, right? Or whatever it is. But if she would be a Mukus Eitz, what would she get? Either 100.
Or 200.
Or 200. But something she would get. What's Amish teaching us? Because according to Rav Sheshes, she would get nothing. She would get nothing.
Where did Rav Sheshet come to play?
No, I'm sorry. Not Rav Sheshet. Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama, the Gemara earlier says, a mukus eitz that the husband didn't know about it, gets nothing. If he knew about it and he married her, she gets 100. Or 200. According to Rav Meir. But if a mukus eitz, the guy didn't know about it before, right? So according to Rav Meir, you get 200. According to the Chacham, you get 100. Right? So the Mishnah, our Mishnah is talking about a case that she wants 200 or 100. And the only question is, what's the husband saying? Nothing or 100, right? But if she would be proven as a mukus eitz, what would she get?
200.
200 or 100. But something she would get. So why is our Mishnah teaching us this din? Because there's an opinion called Rami Bar Chama that says if the husband didn't know that she was a mukus eitz, she will get nothing. Even if it's proven that she was a mukus eitz.
Against Rav Meir and against Rabbana.
Correct. Okay, he holds they get nothing. So our Mishnah is telling us a unique din that she will get something, either 200 or 100. But she'll get something. The same thing the first Mishnah is excluding Rav Sheshes' opinion. What did Rav Sheshes' opinion say? Rav Sheshes' opinion says that if a man thought she was a psula and she's not, she gets nothing. Not like Rabbi Yechinen said, she'll get 100. She will get nothing. So the Mishnah teaches us, she'll get 100. So at least the Mishnah is teaching us something unique. One is to exclude Rav Sheshes' opinion, that if a guy thinks his wife is a psul and she's not, before the Kedushin, but he thought she was a virgin, and she's not, she gets nothing.
That was Rabbi Bar Chama.
No, that
Rabbi Bar Chama says regardless he's not getting anything. Then Rav Sheshet can't say the same thing.
No. That's why just Rabbi Bar Chama holds a mukkah says gets nothing.
Uh-huh.
Rav Sheshet holds if a guy thought she's a psul and she's not from a man, she gets nothing. We hold over here in the Gemara, she gets 100. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But Rav Sheshet holds she gets nothing. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah in both cases is a mukkah says gets something. And the guy who thought his wife is a psul and she's not also gets something. So at least the Mishnah is teaching us something.
How did the man think, unless she made a representation that she's? And he didn't think on his own, so if he found out later on that it's not.
As a rule, not nowadays, but in those days, most girls were psula. Correct? There's an assumption that she's a psula. That's what he imagined.
Right. And you write in the Ketubah that she's a psula, right? She's.
Yeah, and they wrote whatever they wrote in the Ketubah.
It's not that he asked that she lied. It's just that he assumed that already.
Right. No, if she lied, it's a whole different story.
Right.
Then it's a mekach tois. But what happens if the guy assumed she's a virgin and she's not? She didn't lie to him. So, in our Gemara it says she'll get 100. Right? Rav Sheshet says she gets nothing.
Even though he assumed.
Yeah.
So not disclosing is not...
Because Lepel, she should have told me she's not a psula.
Hmm.
She lied. She didn't actively lie, she passively lied.
She didn't disclose.
Right.
The fact that...
Don't ask, don't tell.
That she's not virgin.
And the same thing with a mukkah says. Rami Bachama holds. If the husband didn't know she was a mukasetz, she gets no ksuba whatsoever. Our Mishnahs hold that even if the husband didn't know, she's going to get a ksuba. The question is only 100 versus 200. You know what's the fight over here? She wants 200 because the mukasetz is supposed to get 200. That's the argument. But something she'll get.
But does the hakir below hakir do in the middle of this whole thing then?
Huh? Because according to Rav Meir, the way the Gemara learns, whether he knew if she was a mukasetz or not, she still gets 200.
According to Rabbanan, 100. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but there's an opinion of Rami Bar Chama that says you get nothing if she didn't know.
So hakir or lo hakir, it goes across the board.
In our Mishnah.
Even according to Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer?
Right.
So why do we even bring it to play? Hakir below Hakir.
Because that's the way the Gemara is explaining according to Rabbi Yechon. That's the way Rabbi Yechon explained the Gemara. But now the Gemara is asking, according to Rabbi Laws, I understand why I need two Mishnahs. One to tell me that Allah is not like Rami Bar Chama, and one to tell me that Allah is not Rav Sheshet. But according to Rabbi Yechon, that's what the Gemara says. El Rabbi Yechon, Tarti Lamili, why do I need both cases? Both cases are teaching me the same thing. Okay?
No. It's the same thing, I don't understand.
Both Mishnahs are telling me the same thing. The Mishnah before says, according to Rabbi, she gets 100, and according to Rabbi Shua, you get nothing. And this Mishnah says she gets 100, and according to Rabbi Shua, you get nothing. So what's the Mishnah telling us? Why does the Mishnah have to tell me the same argument between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, the same argument twice? From one you could learn the other. So he says, no. One is to tell us the strength of Rabbi Gamliel, and one is to tell us the strength of Rabbi Yeshua. What does it mean? Kamaisa, the first Mishnah, when she says, it happened after the Kedushin, you know, from a man, but she says it happened after, he said it happened before. To tell us the power of Rabbi Yeshua, that even though she has a migui, like we learned, she could have said, I'm a mukasetz. Right? When she says I was raped, she could have said a better lie, that she was a mukasetz. Nevertheless, she's not believed. Rabbi Yeshua, she's not believed. The second braisa tells the strength of Rabbi Gamliel. Ava gav de lekel meimer migui. She can't have a migui because she says I'm a mukaseitz. The whole migui we learned last week is she could say I'm a mukaseitz, but if she's saying I'm a mukaseitz, she has no better lie. So nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed. But what's interesting over here is the whole arguments over here is a very very fundamental arguments. Number one, was a mukaseitz get? Okay? And secondly, what happens if a girl was taka not a virgin before the wedding? Before the kedushin? Before the kedushin? Right? And then the husband finds out. Does she get nothing or does she get at least 100? That's all the arguments in our Gemara, in these, all these cases. One opinion says she'll get 100, one opinion says she'll get nothing. And the same thing in mukaseitz. Does she get 100 or does she get 200?
Rabbi Gamliel, so he says how much he gets, she gets?
Well, that's the argument in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lazar. She wants 200 in the first Mishnah. She says, I was raped after the Kedushin. So it's your tough luck. What is she asking for?
200.
200.
According to Rabbi Gamliel?
According to Rabbi Gamliel, she gets 200.
And Rabbi Yeshua?
According to Rabbi Yeshua, he says we don't believe her, meaning...
Zero.
Zero.
This, I'm sorry, just to clarify, this amount of money is given to her as a wedding gift, or only if there's a divorce?
It's only if it's a divorce.
Only if it's a divorce?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no tie now.
Or if he dies, and the kids argue.
So there is, in the first mitzvah, there's no discussion of mukatzes or no mukatzes.
It's just was she mizana after the kedusha with a man, or mizana with, was she raped? He says, actually, sticha about yimekhi mechitois.
According to our Mishnah, the last thing we finish, she gets 100, right? At least she gets 100. Any case, no?
100 for sure she'll get.
For sure she'll get 100.
No, Rabbi Eliezer says zero, if it's to be the ish.
No, it depends if you hold that, if she thought he was a psul or not. The question, who has to, does she have to prove the, to be able to take out money?
That depends on another machlok.
Right.
Whose machlok was that?
That's the two opinions. Whether a guy thought she was a virgin and she wasn't from before the kedusha.
That's a bit.
Does she get 100? She get nothing.
But I know who were the two rabbanon that they were talking about.
According to Rabbi Yechen and Rabbi Lozes, they had the argument also. Rabbi Yechon holds a concept of Cheskep Sul of Nimsa Ba'ula, she gets a Ksul 100.
Eight-sided argument.
Right. Okay, the next mission is so much easier. Let's go to the next one.
Oh, the same, there is a gate after Kiddushin also, right? You said before.
Yeah.
So if she comes and says willingly, you know what, I was, you know, Mukat S or whatever, she gets 100 or... This is after the fact, after Nisuin, or the same thing before Nisuin.
Same thing before.
Doesn't matter. Get is get, yeah?
Right.
Either way, it's the minimum.
No, that's if he want. If the guy wants to keep her as a wife,
okay,
she's not getting any ksuba. So what is the fight about?
He wants to divorce her.
It's obvious he wants to divorce her.
Yeah.
Because they're arguing how much of a ksuba does she get. Now, if she's staying married, she's not getting a ksuba payment yet.
Yes.
Right? So then the whole issue is he wants to divorce her because he feels she lied to him. It's complicated because, Marshall, in today's world, yeah, let's say a girl is not a psula from before the wedding. Okay? She never told the chassan. She never told him. He marries her. And then he finds out. Today you can't really tell because not all girls have. Because like we learned, the Gemara says a girl after 12 and a half or 13 sometimes loses the virginity on her own. So in the old times of the Gemara, they never got married after 12. So then she would still have the hymen, you know, the psulim. But afterwards, she lost psulim. So b'chlal today in the Gemara, it's hard to know in today's time if she is a psula, not a psula. You know, it's not, it could be not necessarily.
Everybody got married before 12?
But I'm saying, what happens though, if a guy marries a girl, yeah, thinking she's a psula, and it comes out, he finds out later that she was fooling around before the wedding.
Okay, that's nowadays.
Now, how much of a ksuba does she get?
But that's nowadays. I'm saying back then, when everybody used to get married before 12, there must have cases that it's after 12 also. I mean,
how it was rare.
So they don't, the Gemara doesn't discuss it?
But the answer is 100 at the minimum, right?
Either. Yeah.
No, even zero.
If the guy thought she was a psul and finds out she's not, so Rabbi Yechon says she gets 100, other opinions say she gets nothing.
In
no?
Today's world?
Today's world, they don't deserve anything. Okay, let's go to the next mission. This is much easier, by the way. The Beis Din saw an unmarried woman speaking with somebody. Okay?
Married or not married?
Well, we'll soon see. Who is this man you're talking to? And the Gemara is going to ask, what does it mean exactly? What's the story? But let's see the Mishnah as is. They come to an unmarried girl and they say, who's this guy? And she says, Ish plaini v'kayinu. Kayin doesn't mean he's a kayin. In other words, she sees her talking to a man, unmarried woman, and then she's pregnant. As you say in South Africa, she falls pregnant. Okay? So obviously she lived with the guy. Now, they come to her and you say, this guy you lived with, is he a mamzer? Is he a kosher Jew? Not a kosher Jew? She says, he's a Kayin. Kayin here doesn't mean a Kayin. It means a kosher Jew. That's what the Gemara says it means. Kayin means he's a kosher Jew. So do we believe her or not? Now she has a baby. Is this baby going to be a kosher kid or not a kosher kid?
He's Jewish.
But is he maybe a mamzer? Maybe he's from the Nesinim. Maybe he's this or that. Okay.
What's the scenario? She was talking to a guy. Then she's
the Gemara is going to ask the Gemara's question right away is my medaber. What is talking to the guy mean? In the street? No. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what talking to the guy. What does it mean?
Fine, but where does she be? When does she become pregnant all of a sudden?
Afterwards, she becomes pregnant.
Oh, after the talk.
Yeah. And she obviously didn't get pregnant just by talking. Okay. Who's this nature of the man? Me, is he a kosher guy? Is it going to be kosher or not? So, ish plaini v'kayinu. Meaning, is a kayin, meaning is a kosher, untainted, ruined a woman. Okay? Now, the question, by the way, is not only about the baby. We'll see in the Gemara more. The question is, can this girl marry a kohen now?
Why did
if he's a kosher man, she can still marry a kohen. If he's a non-kosher man, then she has a din of a zayna. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. And then she cannot marry a kohen. So the Gemara is saying, even if she's not pregnant, we'll see again more in the Gemara.
So a kohen can marry someone who's had relations, but not someone who's been married?
No. A kohen is allowed to, well, a woman who's married, if she's a widow, he can marry her. Right. Not a kohen gadol, but a regular kohen.
So divorce, no.
A kohen cannot marry a divorcee.
Okay, but someone who's been
now,
fooling around?
A girl who's been fooling around with men that technically she would be allowed to marry,
okay,
she can marry a kohen.
Really?
If she lived with somebody that she would not be allowed to marry.
Like a goy.
Like a goy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if she was with him once.
Right.
Intimacy once.
Right.
She becomes what's called a zayna. And that, in other words, the Torah says, Isha Zayna v'chalolo lo yikachu. A Kohen cannot take a Isha Zayna. At the beginning of Parsha Zemer. The Gemara defines, what is Zayna? Misha nivola la'asila. A person, the girl that had relations with somebody, she wouldn't be allowed to marry. For instance, if she had relations with her nephew, let's say.
Okay.
She's not allowed to marry a nephew. My nephew cannot marry an aunt. So she had relations with his aunt, even a single aunt, not HSC, right? He had relations with an aunt, because he cannot marry her, that renders her a Zayna. She cannot marry a Kohen anymore. The most practical case in our day, a girl that was with a guy, cannot marry a Kohen. If she was with 100 Jews, she could still marry a Kohen.
But you have to ask her.
That's another issue you need to ask. Do you not to ask? What's the story?
Why not told? Kemino? If she can, so you ask or not ask, what difference does it make?
You have to explain it to her,
no. But I'm saying, do you have to ask a girl, excuse me, were you with a guy?
Oh, I see.
No, it's a big discussion today, by the way. That's why Kohenim, the Rabbali Chuvas,
mm-hmm,
have a very big problem marrying Bali Tshuva girls today. Because girls are on campus or whatever it is, the chances of them being a virgin is
minimal,
like 0%, and or maybe 1%, and there's a lot of times. So, Bechlau, a lot of times when you talk to girls, the Bali Tshuva girls, I'm saying from girls, right? And they want to know if they're kosher l'kayin. For whatever reason, it ends up they speak, they're always getting shidduchim from kohanim, whatever. So then the girl has to know, if she was with a Jew that she would be allowed to marry, she's still allowed for a kohen. If she be a Zionist, she can't. So now, what's the case over here? This girl is talking to the guy. Obviously, it went beyond the talking. Okay? Now they want to know, is this girl, can she marry a kohen? Forget about the baby, even if she's not pregnant. If there's a pregnant, there's another question, but about the baby, right? But the question is this girl now allowed to marry a kohen? So they ask, the Beis Din says to the girl, who's this guy that you, were with? So if she says, as a kosher Jew, not a mamzer, not a this, so the question is, do we believe her or not? So, again, the same thing, Ram Gamliel v'Rabbi Elazar, amen. Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say, Nemena, she's believed. Why? Because a girl from birth is allowed to marry a kohen. A girl from birth is a chazaka of a psula, right? She's a psula. Mm-hmm. That means she has an established thing that she can marry a kohen.
Right.
Now we want to disprove her from marrying a kohen. Disapprove her from marrying a kohen.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So now became a doubt. Is this guy kosher or not? So Chum say, listen, if she says the guy was kosher, we believe her because until now she was definitely allowed to marry a kohen. So in order to change it, it has to be a definite, not a doubt. That's what the Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar says. Rabbi Yeshua Emed, Laimi Pianu Chayon. We don't live from her mouth, meaning she's not believed. What do we assume? We assume she lived with a Nassin that wasn't allowed to marry a Jewish girl, or a Mamzer, that would also disqualify because she can't marry a Mamzer. So if a girl had relation with a Mamzer, it would also disqualify her. At your Tavir Eilid Vara, she'd have to prove that the guy was a kosher guy.
So she has to prove it, or we have to prove
No, she has to prove it.
It looks like the people that they saw her, they don't know, they don't know the information, because this is Ra'uha.
Right.
So they don't know him.
Right.
She knows him.
Right. She says she knows.
So what is the point of the Mishnah word, they saw him?
They saw him, otherwise how do you know she do live with somebody? The Gemara is going to ask exactly, when we get to the Gemara is going to ask, what happened over here? They saw her talking? What does that mean?
What is the word Kohen here? I mean, the Kohen.
Kohen again. Kohen
why
means
not?
That.
I mean, why?
That he's a guy that has good lineage. That's what the Gemara is using Kohen means, because that's the easiest way of speaking about it. A guy that can marry a Kohen. Now the Mishnah says the second case. What happened if she became pregnant? Now the question is on the baby. Right?
What?
Forget who she can marry. The question is this baby a kosher baby? Well, like, again, the same Haisim Ubedis, the same case, and we'll see why the Gemara Mishnah needs both cases. Amar Mativa Shul Bezet. They said, what is the nature of this fetus? Meaning, who's the father of this fetus? She says, Me'ish Plaini V'Kayinu. So and so, and he's kosher. She's believed. Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't live from her mouth, meaning we don't believe her. And we assume that the baby is either a nesin or a mamzer, until she can prove it. Now the question over here, we're going to see in more as we get more into the Gemara over here. Why didn't Rabbi Yeshua just say that she lived with a guy?
What?
Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her.
Yeah.
Right.
And therefore, who was she with? A nosin or a mamzer? Why didn't Rabbi Yeshua just say maybe she was with the guy? Period. Who's more, goyim or mamzerim? There's more goyim than mamzerim, or nesinim. Nesinim was a certain nation that the Moshe Rabbeinu decreed they can't be part of Jewish Bnei Yisrael, right? But why didn't they say so? We see because now the question goes a step further. If it was a guy, if a Jewish girl lived with a guy and got pregnant, that baby is full-fledged Jew. He can't marry a Kohen if it's a girl. But that baby can marry anybody. If the father was a mamzer, then what's the kid?
A
mamzer, so he can't marry anybody.
Right.
So Rabbi Yeshua is taking even a step further. Rabbi Yeshua is saying, not only do we assume it's a guy, which is not as bad for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the baby's from a guy,
still
unless one opinion we learned before in the Gemara says it's a mamzer, but it's, I mean, it's not here in Yevamos. It says it's a mamzer, but we don't pass it like that. So, according to the Gemara, Mefarshim explained, Rabbi Yeshua is taking even a step further. If it would be a guy, the kid's at least a kosher kid, could marry anybody. If the father's a mamzer, then the kids are mamzer.
So why they even that extreme?
Rabbi Yeshua goes to that extreme.
Yes, that was...
Yep. Now, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the kid can't marry anybody.
Yeah.
Until she proves that the guy she became pregnant from was the kosher guy.
How can she be so sure that it's a nesina or mamzer? I mean,
because she's unmarried. That means she's a little bit promiscuous.
And she goes dafka with the mamzer and a nesina? I mean,
maybe she didn't know.
I mean, that's what that's the
because
thing.
Rabbi Yeshua holds, this is what the Rishonim explained. Ah, she has a chazaka that she's kosher. A girl, it's a chazak, she's a kosher.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Rabbi Yeshua hold this doubt, uproots it? Because Rabbi Yeshua says the second she finds it talking to people she shouldn't be talking, it loses the, it kills the chazak.
Okay, then it loses the chazak. Why should go to the such an extreme of that, you know...
Because you're losing a chazak, so it goes to extreme, no?
Yeah.
Why you want to stop in the middle?
Because they're mamzerim and nesinos, they are limited.
That's what the Rishonim write. With the fact that Rabbi Yeshua says, he could have said it simply, we don't believe her, and we assume that she was with a guy, unless if she could prove differently. That's not what he's saying. I mean, Rabbi Yeshua is saying it a step further. That's mamish, that the baby, if it would be a father, a guy, the baby would be at least kosher. Rabbi Yeshua is saying we don't believe it to such an extent that even the baby can't marry anybody. Now, the Rishonim, okay, it's later. The Rishonim discuss another thing. If the woman, because the Mishnah says, the woman says it's so-and-so. Ish Pliny. The woman says who it is, right?
Yeah.
And he's a kosher Jew. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say, we believe her, the kid's kosher, right? Now the question is she believed to say who the father actually is? Can this kid inherit that man? Hmm. Is she believed that far?
Because nobody saw him. Based on her, they say...
Let me tell you a very simple thing. There's a big billionaire, yeah? And all of a sudden, this woman is pregnant. You have the court cases like this today, right? Mm-hmm. They say, she said, that billionaire may be pregnant.
Right.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Now, this kid, therefore, inherits the billions, yeah. Right? Do you believe it that far?
No,
that Lazar and Gamliel say you believe it that the kid's kosher.
DNA.
But for instance, if she says Taka, the father was a Kayin, is this kid have it? Do we believe it that the kid's a Kayin? Or we just believe it that the kid's kosher kid?
That's my quote. How far we go with her words?
No, but he's big. The Rishonim bring out that this does not mean she's believed to identify. We'll see more next week. The Rishonim write is not necessarily she's believed according to Rabbi Elazar and Gamliel that the kid's a kosher kid, that the man is a kosher man. And the question is, she believed to say it was that guy. That's the question.
The Mishnah doesn't say that?
No. The Mishnah just says the kid's kosher.
Oh.